One of the most well-known verses in the scripture is the one from Micah, where Micah the prophet asks, "What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God?" And in many ways, that summarizes what a mission trip is all about. For 16 years now, 17, I think, our church has been sending forth our high school youth on an annual mission trip. There have been, I think, close to 200 of our young people in that time have been on at least one, if not three or four, mission trips. And our adults have jumped in, and our middle schoolers, too. So we sort of have a whole crowd of mission trippers these days. And today we're going to hear about our high school youth mission trip to Joplin, Missouri, a year and 2 months after the May 22nd tornado that was one of the most devastating ever in that town. And we'll hear a little bit about it from three of our young people and one of our youth leaders. And I'll ask you just to sit out there. You can hear better and just come up one at a time. And first, we're going to hear from senior Colin Gleason.
Good morning. On May 22nd of 2011, there was an EF5 tornado. It was about 3/4 of a mile wide at times and 7 miles long. The path of destruction was so long because it moved so slow. Around 189 people lost their lives and about 1,000 were injured. 8,400 homes were destroyed, and 450 businesses were also destroyed. We did a lot of work on this mission trip. Day one wasn't the most glorious work. We did things such as washing bus stops and surveying residents, but it was work that needed to be done. After that first day, the work really picked up. Projects I was on included reinforcing, staining, and just that kind of stuff at this elderly couple's house. For Habitat for Humanity, we put vertical pieces called spindles on porch railings, and we leveled dirt on 4 or 5 front porches so they could be poured with concrete. We also put some finishing touches on a house that was ready to be moved into. Other projects included building a shed for a person in need, grouting tiles, and painting cabinets. I'm so glad we were lucky enough to get the opportunity to help get some people back on their feet, and it was an incredible experience, and I'm extremely proud of everyone for working so hard to accomplish so many different projects. Thank you.
Now we'll hear from Cannon Hannabeth, one of our first-time mission trippers. We had 32 youth and 9 adults on this trip, and I think 11 of our young people were first-timers. So Cannon is going to speak for them as well.
Hi, everyone. My name is Cannon Hannabeth. This past week, I had traveled to Joplin, Missouri with my peers and advisors. I will admit, I was extremely nervous to go on this trip. I had not gone on the one last year, but I did go to some youth groups. I knew a lot of people who were going on the trip, but I did not know them personally. I was scared that I was away from home for a whole week with people I kind of knew. I had no idea what to expect from this trip, but I can tell you it was one of the best trips I've ever been on. I got to know my fellow missionaries a lot more, and I became close to my advisors too. Upon arriving to Joplin, the group decided to check out the tornado site. I was assuming there would be damage, but I wasn't assuming how much damage there actually was. As we drove by, I could see almost nothing. No trees, minimal houses, and damage to almost all telephone posts, signs, and streets. I was so sad with the appearance. Over 116 people were killed, and over 500 were injured, making it one of the deadliest tornadoes. My group had an amazing experience of meeting and helping those who suffered in this tornado and in the community. We had helped the community a lot. We washed bus stops, surveyed people, washed and planted trees, cleaned up empty lots with garbage and weeds, Some of us who had gone surveying got to hear the stories of many who suffered in this traumatic event. There was one lady who even sat in her bathtub during the storm, and when coming out after, all she saw was a dark sky and garbage everywhere. She had survived, and she was proud to tell us her story, just like many people were. I remember going to a job in a neighborhood that wasn't severely hit by the tornado, but still needed help. The woman and her husband told us that trees had fallen onto the garage and their fence was torn down, and how grateful they were that there wasn't too much damage done to their house. She told us that she was grateful for people like us who come and help them even a year after the storm. It made me smile that just a simple thing like staining a fence or watering trees could really help someone and their community. I was honored to go on this trip because I got to help the people who really needed it and made their day great. This trip was also an amazing opportunity for me to get to know my fellow missioners. I'd almost worked with everyone, and I got to know them so much better. We had fun car rides, singing and jamming out to music. We played games and worked together at job sites. It was a wonderful opportunity to get to know people better, and I can consider everyone my friend. Although the trip is over, I still believe I will stay friends with this fun group. This was an amazing experience, and I can't wait to go on next year's. Thank you.
You have to be proud of our young people when they're out there working in as high as 108 degree temperatures, doing all kinds of things. Oh, we got some photos. You may have already noticed that we have a lot of traditions on mission trips. There's a new one. It's called the Mission Trip Mullet. Oh, Mohawk. Oh, see, I don't know. You can see I'm slightly quicker than Aaron Brown, who wields the clippers on this. But oh, that's right. It was Gary who wields the clippers. Sorry. Anyway, I'm very proud of our young people for the hard work and with nary a complaint, always willing to jump in and do whatever we were asked to do, whether it was watering hundreds of trees that had been replaced. Planted to replace all those lost in the storm, or working on people's homes. Yeah, some photos shouldn't be shared. Whatever happened to what happens on the mission trip stays on the mission trip. So, we have six seniors on this mission trip who had been on three or four trips each, and David Sachs is now going to give us the perspective of one of our seniors who's looking back on that. David?
All right. So when Greg Bostrom asked me to give part of the sermon in front of you all, talking about what mission trips are to us, I was both honored and slightly terrified. See, mission trips are the kind of thing that even to the freshmen who came along for the first time this year, the way we explained what it was going to be like was, you'll get it when you're there. So I really struggled with trying to find a succinct way to explain to you all what we go through every year and what it means to us. So I settled on a simple, meaningful, and painfully cliche answer. It's a family. Mission trip is a gathering of young adults and advisors who transform into a huge, incredibly close family. Oldest siblings at home find older brothers in group. The youngest at home find little sisters. We all play all roles to each other, making every person simultaneously feel protected and protectful, needed and cared for, loved and loving. We find parents, wise old heads that keep us going straight and keep us from going completely wild. We find heroes and role models, people willing to guide us and show us how to become who we were truly meant to be. We find love. We find acceptance. We find a sense of belonging, comfort, hope, strength, and support many of us have never known before. We become connected to a family that has lived for 18 years, through 18 mission trips, through hundreds of lives. Now, the dual beating hearts of this family are our two most beloved traditions, cards and rope. While both represent the love we have for each other, they symbolize entirely different parts of what our mission trips are. Cards is us, those who are in this group in this minute, is all of us encouraging and sharing with those who travel beside us, is explaining to everyone in the group exactly why they deserve to be loved. Rope, the yin to cards yang, is a tie to the old love this group holds. that connects the freshmen this year to the seniors who graduated 18 years ago. The rope remembers everyone who has ever held it or shared on it. The rope contains every memory, every dream, and every bit of newfound hope. The rope shows us that even our heroes, those that we consider our role models, are the same as us. The rope shows us that we never stand alone. The rope ties us all together. I can't explain all of Mission Trip to you. I can't explain the inside jokes, the newfound friends, the sense of accomplishment, the shenanigans, and the stories we all carry with us for the rest of our lives. Those are all deeply individual things, and your own child will have to explain them to you. So what I can explain to you are the things that we all hold in common. The tears on rope, the love felt when you read your cards, the newfound hope and strength when the hugs come to support you, knowing that you made a difference, knowing that this family will catch you if you fall, knowing that we will stand beside you through all things, knowing that you're safe. That is what makes us Wildfire. That is what makes us one heart, one hand, one will, one family. And that is what mission trips really are. Mission Trip is this family coming home.
I want to thank all the adults who took a week of their vacation to come on this mission trip. So, oh goodness. Yeah, that's Andrew Mott on the right there. Would all the adults just stand up? You have four of our Wildfire alumni who are now coming, Jason Wilbur and Tony Lukenbill and Aaron Brown and Lauren Hilty. And we have Paulette Wilbur, who came at the last minute when Misty Austin Wessels had health issues. Danny Armstrong, one of our ongoing youth advisors. And of course, we're all led by Andrew Mott, who is our youth coordinator extraordinaire, who does wonderful work for our kids. And today, the final word from our mission trip team is going to be given by Greg Brill, who has been a youth group advisor for 14 years. He's been on 14 mission trips now, and he is retiring just from youth advising. He's still the world's best high school Sunday school teacher. He's going to continue in that role. So our young people will all continue to know Greg, which is a great blessing for them and for us all. But this was his last year of advising on Sunday night youth fellowships. And so Greg is going to share a few thoughts here as well. Greg?
I hope you don't mind if I wrote a few things down because I'm still a little tired. Back in 1999, Pastor Greg came up to me in the hall and said, "We're short a driver for our annual mission trip. Can you drive to West Virginia?" Which I thought I could do. So I said, "Sure, what exactly do I have to do?" "Oh, all you have to do is drive." And then a couple weeks later, there was a mention of tools. Do you have any tools? I should have stopped right there. But since then, I've been on 14 mission trips, as Greg has mentioned. I did a quick calculation this morning, over 21,000 miles, and one of the best farmer's tans you could ever get. The thing that I love about it is that our youth get to experience a side of life that most people spend their entire life trying to avoid. And what I like to call these things is the storms of life, and it's I guess more pertinent on this particular trip. But you know, you look at poverty and disability and hunger, look at dying economies in local areas like the coal mining areas, and certainly the aftermath of hurricanes and tornadoes. These young people have seen all of that, but more importantly, they wanted to go there and do something. You know, they found that when the dust settles and all the news crews leave and people are trying to put their lives back together, that's when they need the most help. And it really doesn't matter if you're talking about an individual person, and some of the pictures you saw up there were of some of the people that we helped, or whether it's a whole community. And in this case in Joplin, it was a whole community. One of the things that struck me the most was driving through there, and you may have seen it in some of the pictures, it kind of looks like a rural area, but you're in the middle of a city, and you see one driveway after another that used to go to a house that sat there. There was a house on every single lot. There was a family in every single house. And now most of those places look like rural areas, surrounded by a city. Strange environment. But our youth wanted to go there. They wanted to help. That tornado was one of the most powerful on Earth, actually. And as it was mentioned, it was anywhere from 3/4 to 2.5 miles wide, 6 or 7 miles long. Over 4,000 homes and buildings were completely destroyed. Most of them gone from their foundations. It is amazing that that the few number of people that were mentioned lost their lives there. When we were driving through it, it just makes your heart pound. I mean, just to see it makes your heart pound. And these guys were excited, not just, you know, from a Gawker point of view, but from the point of view that they knew that they were going to get out there and do something about it. You know, it's all too easy when you see something like that to feel the hopelessness that those people are in and that they feel. What took years and years and in some cases generations to build up doesn't come back overnight. And a lot of those people that survived will never be able to return. You know, some of them were barely surviving as it was, barely able to make their payments, and the insurance only pays for so much. And the people that are trying to rebuild, it's very difficult. And our youth saw that, and they wanted to help. It's a little different situation when we go, you know, say to the Appalachian Mountains where it's economically depressed and you're talking about poverty. These are people that lost everything. Just to give you an example of how it strikes you, I was on a site with about 10 of the youth where we were building that shed, and brand new house. We go in the garage because there are a few things in the garage that the lady that owned the house said we could use to build the shed. And I asked the youth what they noticed that was different about that garage, and they immediately looked around and said, well, there's hardly anything in here. And the only things that were in there that were hanging on the wall still had the price tags on them, because that woman had lost every single thing that she had. She didn't have a pen left, nothing. Everything was completely gone except the foundation of the house. And deposited where she lived was all the debris from another spot that had to be cleaned away before she rebuilt. Well, the insurance only pays for so much, so, you know, rebuying all your tools, having a shed to put things in is a luxury at this point for her. And by the way, we called her up out of the blue. She didn't know us. Said, can we help you? And she said, sort of reluctantly, sure, you can help me. And we did just that. She told me that she was sorry that she couldn't come to see us because she had to work every day to afford the things that she did have and to try and replace what she had. So we worked there for 3 days. We never met her. We built her a very nice shed and fixed a couple other things while we were there, and left her a very nice note. So we hope that she was happy when she saw what we did. You know, our youth, I think, are a little bit different than most that you meet because of the commitment they have to each other. And I think any youth group might have that. You know, they have friends and things like that. But their commitment to helping people in these communities is outstanding. And I think you should take that as a tribute because they're your children. And I just want to compliment you on how well you've instilled in them that service is an important part of life. And if they didn't know that when they first go on the trip, they certainly know it by the end. And it's not like they don't want to ever go on another trip because of that. They want to go on another trip because of that, because they learn that it puts something in here as well as in your head, because they learn how to use tools too. You know, these are powerful things that God sends upon people. And I'm not talking about the storms. Those are powerful things too. Maybe you look at that as sort of a condition of life. But when I say these are powerful things that God sends, I'm talking about them. And when they realize that power and you're there to witness it, it's the greatest thing in the world. You should be immensely proud of your sons and daughters for standing there and saying, "Here I am, Lord." And on this trip, we have a new saying, it's, "Here I am, Lord, where's the 5-gallon bucket?" It makes me so proud to be a part of it, if you don't mind me saying that. You know, to work with these youth, to be friends with them, to goof around with them and tell stories and jokes and all that stuff. But they're really your sons and daughters, and for a time they were my sons and daughters. So just be very happy that you have such wonderful children. And to think, all I had to do was drive. I do have one more thing, if Michael and Alani will indulge for a minute. It turns out that on 14 mission trips, I have missed my 20th, my 25th, and my 30th anniversary. So I just wanted to say, happy anniversary.
Say, Greg, we have a little token of gratitude for you. We have a t-shirt here. I see we made the mistake of choosing the exact same one that you bought for yourself. But this is going to be the signed copy. I want to, after the service, all of us who were on this mission trip, and all of any of you that were on a mission trip with Greg Brill, sign this one. This will be the autographed, frameable version. And Greg, I just have one other thought. We're 51 weeks from the 2013 mission trip, and I need a driver. So, you know, where we stayed in a church, the Abundant Life Church, that had basically turned itself into a home for volunteers, feeding over 200, 250 people every day, housing that many people. It was really quite a remarkable thing that this church had done. It was a small bit of one part of the whole response of the church to the people of Joplin, that when people tell you about it, they just tear up when they're talking about the way that the volunteers have come from all over the country to be a part of that. And so it was just a real blessing for us to be a part of that too. And now we're going to bless our seniors. I'd like all of our seniors to come forward, and if your parents are here at this service, some will be at the next service, I know, but parents, come on down and stand behind your young people. So if you'll all stand in front and face out to the congregation, and parents, come on down and stand behind your man or your woman. And we have just a wonderful group of seniors. Are there any other of our seniors out there that weren't on the mission trip? Because this is for you too. We're blessing all of our seniors today. Well, we have just a wonderful, wonderful group of young people who are our seniors this year, who are we're sending forth into the world today. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves and just tell you what's next for them.
Hi, my name is Derek Peters, and in the fall I'll be going to DePaul University studying digital cinema.
Hello, I'm Michael Dimmick. I will be attending Augustana College, and I will be studying mathematics secondary education.
Hi, I'm Alani Pinar. I'm going to the University of Kentucky, and I'm studying music education.
Hi, my name is Shannon Schroeder. I'm also going to DePaul University in the fall, and I'll be studying psychology.
Hi, my name is David Sachs. I'm going to the University of Dayton to double major in aerospace and mechanical engineering.
Hey, I'm Colin, and I'm going to Illinois Wesleyan University studying business.
Well, we just have a couple of words as we send you forth into the world. One, I want to remind you that according to our Presbyterian heritage, John Calvin said there are actually two books of God. One, of course, is the Bible, no surprise there. But the other is the book of, he called it the book of nature, the book of the world around us, which is to say that all knowledge is God's knowledge, all truth is God's truth. And there's nothing, as you go off to these universities and places of higher learning to which you're all going, there's nothing you can learn there that isn't part of God's world that doesn't in the end lead you right back to the God who created us and has called us to serve him with love. So use your love God with your minds as well as your hearts and bodies and souls. Second is, I think sometimes we're nervous to be heading out there. I would be. I was. When you're heading out into the great wide world and you don't know what's next and things are uncertain. I read something really interesting from a guy named Mike Donnelly. I have no clue who he is, but he said, you know, every famous author, every famous business leader, every famous athlete or entertainer or a tycoon or whatever has one thing in common with one another, and that is that when they started out, they were none of those things. You're all starting out. The world's your oyster. What a great opportunity and a wonderful opportunity you have to be whoever it is you choose to be with all the gifts God has given you, the experience you've had, the love that has been there for you. We send you out in the world knowing that there are great things ahead of you. And as we do that, we send you forth with the knowledge that that rope that we celebrated a little while ago will continue to bind you to each other, to all of us here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church who love you, and to the God who created you and has called you and sends you, joins us now in sending you forth into this great wide world to enjoy this good life that is God's gift and to serve our Lord with gladness. So I'd like to ask our parents now to just place your hands upon the shoulders of your young person. And will you all join me in prayer? Gracious God, we are grateful for the opportunity that we have as a church to encourage and mentor and teach and love the children, the youth, the young adults whom you entrust to our care. And so today, we look at these young people whom we have been blessed to know and love, and we ask you to continue to bless them all the days of their lives. So bless Colin and David, Shannon, Ilani, Michael, and Derek, with your love, with courage, with grace, with peace. Help them always to know that they are bound to us and to you by your love that never fails, wherever they go and whatever they do. These and the prayers of our hearts we are bold to offer in Christ's name, and let all God's people say, Amen. So remember that life is short, and we have but little time to gladden the hearts of those who travel with us. So let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And you may be seated. And at the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to turn around and hug your parents. That's right, or hug the brownie, as the case may be.
And I'll ask our seniors to join me at the door after the service so you can all greet our seniors and send them forth with your blessing too. And let's worship God now.